Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
So we are allegedly on the back end of the whole COVID experience, right? Yesterday, the federal judge turning over, that was a Trump appointee, by the way, elections have consequences, federal judge turning over the extension of the federal mandate on masking for all mass transit, right? So that's people on airplanes, on Delta, United, American Airlines, having a little party late afternoon yesterday. Mass transit, Amtrak, trains, up in Chicago, whatever the case may be. So that's one of the things that's finally lifted here in the United States of America. So one of the changes that we've been going through for the last over 2 years now, but it's been a wild season. And one of the places, one of the environments that got affected a lot by COVID was, of course, schooling, the whole school situation. This is pre-Loudoun County. And I thank God for Loudoun County, and I thank God for moms who, once again, dads doing a job that we should at least be neck and neck with them on. But they stepped up to the plate in Loudoun County. Now I hope the whole country becomes like Loudoun County. And we see that as parents are beginning to find out what's in the curriculum that their little kids are being taught. But with masking and shutdowns and all that mess, that was one of the reasons our daughter went to public school for 1 year, her freshman year. And then after that, it was a challenging environment anyway, but then you send them all home and people are like, no. And that was our daughter. She was like, no, I'm not going to go back. That's ridiculous. So she went back to homeschooling. That happened all over the country. It happened all over North Carolina and happened right here in Wake County, where public schools lost people. They continue to do that, which I would also throw another thing. Thank you, Lord, for that one. And Christian schools and homeschooling increasing. So this is a very dynamic, moving environment that we have in the world of education. But somebody that was ahead of the curve with all this stuff, our good friend Alan Hahn from Iron Academy. He's the chief education officer there as well as the founder. And we're going to talk about a bunch of things today. We'll talk about the changing landscape of school, what God is doing at Iron Academy with all that discipleship, as well as just an enormous announcement for Iron Academy, which is just one of these things. You go down, you live long enough, you follow the Lord long enough, and you just start to see some wild things happen as you're faithful. And God does his thing, which is really cool. Alan, great to see you. Welcome back.
Good to be here. Thank you.
So this has been a pretty wild 2 years for education and Iron Academy as well. I mean, you guys were caught up in it as well. So just talk us through that. You shared a lot of stats, things that have changed in the last two and a half years, people moving to homeschooling. But what was – let's remind everybody all about Iron Academy. And then what was happening to you guys? What have you seen happen? Because I know we've got a lot of facts and figures we want to make sure people understand.
Well, just like everybody – we had to shut down in, what was it, March of 2020 for a couple months and go remote, which nobody liked, but it reinforced our commitment to be as low-tech as possible.
Yeah.
So when we came back in August, we mostly ignored what was going on in 2020 and 2021 for that school year, and this school year has been normal. We told our parents from the very beginning, if you want your son to wear a mask, we will support you 100%. If you don't want him to wear a mask, we will support you 100%. And I think the first day of school, we had three people wearing masks.
Yeah.
So
imagine that, empowering parents with their children, in this case, their sons, to make their own decisions. Yeah. What a shocking thought.
Shocking. But otherwise, it's been pretty normal throughout that time, with the exception of us going remote for those 3 months. But again, it affirms our decision that we want to be a low-tech school. And it's not like our guys are Luddites. They're right. Well acquainted with technology. Some of them do take coding classes. But for the most part, we are very low-tech. In fact, our middle school is no-tech. Because you know our sons and daughters aren't better people when they're on digital devices than when they're off.
That's right. And society appeared to have advanced for several thousand years and several hundred years here in America without technology. Not that it can't help. It's a great tool. But it's not. It shouldn't be a way of life.
It should be a tool. And for all of us, it is a great tool. But when it starts to control us, I think the genius of our age, much like in the Renaissance, it would have been art, or in ancient Rome or ancient Greece, it might have been government. And now it's dopamine manipulation.
Right, exactly yes. right. That's exactly what's going on. And that's not hyperbolic, that statement. No, that's just the reality of it. So what have you seen in the changing landscape? Because I know people, there's public schools, there's private schools, there's home schools, and then there's Iron Academy.
Well, we have seen that. So we noticed when we went to the shutdown that our guys predictably didn't do well offline. So when we came back, we started to incorporate more things like culture days, more time away from school, and that has really been a hit for us. In fact, we're going to be doing even more of that next year. But it's for us, it's all about the discipleship,
yeah.
And we really want to spend more and more and more time with guys, which has always been what we've been good at. But the changes we've seen throughout society and with COVID and with online education. We said we've got to double down on that. So that's what we're doing.
Because would you say that we're and we've talked about this before, are we at a crisis level with the development of young men in this country?
Yes, but I'd say it's for young people, not just young men. What we are seeing with so many digital devices is that our young people are not learning how to live in community with each other. Mm. And that may not sound like a big deal, but God gives us two commands. Jesus said the two great commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. The second is like that, love your neighbor as yourself. If we don't learn how to love one another well, we are missing his big assignment for us here on earth.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we do really well at is teaching people how to live in community. So many places, we have this term, I think we've talked about it before, but lawnmower,
yep.
Where you mow over all the obstacles, you create a nice, clean turf so the junior doesn't have to go over any obstacles. Well, that's not good for our development, and that's what happens. You know, if somebody gets hurt, somebody hits somebody a little bit too hard in taekwondo class, well, we're out of there. We're going to go to another one, and we'll start a new sport. But we have to overcome these things, and one of the things that I think we do really well is sticking with things through the thick and thin, and not allowing a digital world or anything else to be a barrier for us to learn how to live in community with one another.
Yeah. And that's how life works anyway.
It does.
We're a digital society, but you still have to get out there and interact with people. And even with like our daughter and our son, who are both out in the workplace, one in San Francisco, one in Manhattan, they do our son out in San Francisco. Still virtually everything's online. All their meetings are online, Zoom's on, but he's still interacting with people. Our daughter is now going back to the office in Brooklyn. And so you have to interact with people, and you can't run, you can't hide, you can't stay in your parents' basement forever. So how do you train, how do you disciple these young men, boys when they come in, men when they leave at Iron Academy? We're here with Alan Hahn. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, here with Alan Hahn from Iron Academy, ironacademy.org. What a great comment Alan threw in there, that quote. It was it John Stone Street? What was unthinkable before is unquestionable now, right? So before, hey, I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. No, you obviously have some kind of mental illness. That's ridiculous. It's preposterous. Maybe you just need to cross-dress. I don't know what it is. But now you can't question that. Now it's talk to Disney, talk to Twitter, talk to YouTube, talk to Facebook, talk to whoever. You can't question it. So it's unthinkable before, but now it's unquestionable. And that's the world we live in, this upside-down world where right is wrong and wrong is right. Isaiah said, woe to those who call good evil and evil good. And that's where we're at. We talked last week on Theology Thursday with Renton Rathbun from Bob Jones University about how do you even communicate in a world where people are actively suppressing the truth. That's why Iron Academy, who's dealing with young men starting in sixth grade, it's so important because there's not like it's you can't solve it with a book, right? It's not like one book, one class, or even one year in school. It's a good reminder that Jesus walked with his disciples 3 years before they were ready to go. But isn't that what we have to do? We have to start playing the long game here. We have to invest like you do at Iron Academy and disciple these young boys into men, which doesn't happen overnight.
Yes, Jesus did have the formula. 24/7 for 3 years, the untold hours he spent with these guys before he released them into the world and before he gave them the Holy Spirit. We do have the Holy Spirit now, but for us to release our young people into a world and say, hey, be missionaries before we fully train them.
Oh, man.
The what they're seeing and the power of our culture is so strong and so unbiblical and so entrenched and so they believe themselves so heavily that we have got to train our young people to go out there, but we can't send them out there too early. We're sending them out there to the slaughter, and they are affected by it because, you know, we talked about digital devices before. Everything that moms and dads and biblical schools are teaching their young people, as soon as they get on those digital devices, they're going in the opposite direction.
That's exactly right.
It's a fight.
Yep. Yeah, it's a fight. It's an ongoing fight. So as we move forward, because you sent me a note and you posted this on Facebook earlier about what we're going to talk about today. Of course, discipleship, because discipleship's at the heart of what Iron Academy does. But also kind of a warning to Christian schools, because things are changing. You mentioned this on the break. I use this all the time. The emperor has no clothes. So you grow up in the church, and you go to Sunday school, and you go to the youth group, and you go sit in the service, and you go back on Wednesday night or whatever. So 4 hours a week, kindergarten through 12th grade, great job, 2,400 hours of biblical input. That's wonderful. But when they go to public school, private school, whatever, online school, kindergarten through 12th grade, that's 16,000 hours. And then popular media on top of it, another 16,000 hours. So you have 32,000 hours of what you're talking about. Mostly, I mean, at its most innocuous form, it's godless, but in its most dangerous form, it's anti-Christian. Versus your 2,400 hours in church, and it just doesn't work. So you go out, we send our kids off to the college campus, and not every, it's not like every Christian college is located 100 miles from any known sin. That's ridiculous.
Right.
They go out, and the whole culture is telling them, actually, the emperor is dressed fabulously. And they come out of our homes and our schools, and they go, no, he's nude. I mean, the guy's buck naked. And the rest of the culture says, no, he's not. You're the one that's crazy. You get gaslit. You're crazy. The rest of us are right. And that's a lot of pressure for an 18 or 19-year-old to deal with. And if they can't, they don't have the wisdom and discernment, if they haven't been discipled properly for several years, like you said, Alan, they're a lamb to the slaughter.
Yeah. And this assumes that we have parents who have strong biblical worldviews.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, as was the case with me, if I come to Christ later in life, I've already developed an unbiblical worldview that I have to retrain myself for.
No kidding.
So sometimes we don't even realize the value of a strong biblical worldview being taught in a school, because we grew up in a place where that wasn't taught, and we're just fine.
I think one of the things, one of the traps we fall into, and in some of the information you prepared and shared with me, we think, hey, as long as our kids do well and get into a good college, that's it. So they can succeed academically. But they're not really getting anywhere spiritually, and they're not getting anywhere socially. And that's what's happening. That's what we're cranking out mostly in the system. So as we walk into this world where the emperor's clearly buck naked, but we're the only ones that see it, we being believers, how does Iron Academy kind of position itself when this is what's out there now? Because now we got to disciple them and get them ready. I use this phrase all the time in my classes, that you have to be shrewd as a viper and gentle as a dove. You really have to be sharp to go out into this crazy culture. And first of all, just operate in it without losing your mind. And second of all, being effective in it. I mean, from a kingdom perspective.
Yeah. So when we started this in the sixth grade back in 2013, and we added a grade each year, we saw our guys developing. We spent the time with them. We saw who they were becoming. And we were feeling pretty good about what we were producing. But the big test was going to be, what happens when these guys graduate?
Yeah.
What are they going to do? Because we've seen in other Christian schools where half your students run wild after they graduate. All right, is it going to be real for them? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm happy to say that our class of 2020 and our class of 2021, those are our first two classes. I've talked with every one of those guys probably within the last 2 months, with the exception of one. I think he is avoiding me, that one. but without exception, the other guys are still pursuing the Lord. They're still studying their Bibles. They're still involved in their local church, whatever new local church that might be.
Yeah.
They're off to college. But they are firmly grounded in what they believe, because they've been able to question it, and because they see biblical manhood not just as a theology, but as their design.
Yeah.
They were created for more, and now they're trying to live up to it. And we gave them lots of opportunity to question those things.
Sure, good.
And biblical manhood is a weighty thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I carry my challenge coin with me, and it's heavy. It's something to live up to, and these guys feel that. So, you know, if you're at Iron Academy and it's not true, you're not going to last long. But the guys that stay with it and stick with it, they know what they believe, and they know whose they are, and they know what they were designed to be.
Well, and that takes work, and that work is not pretty. That's why you called it Iron Academy. Proverbs 27, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's not a pretty process. It's not easy. It's not comfortable most of the time. And that's why you have what? I mean, based on that, nearly 100% of these guys, they're still walking with the Lord because they've learned who they are, whose they are. They know what's out there, and they know that they're here for a purpose. It's very profound. It's not just, I'm going to figure out I got to go to college so I can get a job and make some money.
Well, because they know what it means to be a godly man, because they have learned, and I know this sounds strange to the rest of the world, because they've learned how to love one another well.
Yeah.
When they get out there and they see some of the craziness going on, they know there's a better way.
Yeah.
They see that this works. It's not theoretical. It's real. It's true.
I want to ask you a couple of these things in the discipleship program. But by the way, when we're talking about Iron Academy, ironacademy.org, if you're here in the Triangle area, and be praying for Iron Academy, not just in what's going on today, but what we hope God would do in the future, because this is the type of school that we need here in Wake County. Praise God for that. But all around North Carolina, in fact, all around the country, there isn't anything like this out there, which is why it's so important. But as we look at this, and I go through this list, and like you're already, okay, we have to come together. How do we distinguish ourselves? The market is changing. And there's some things here that are super important. Number one, we're already tremendously strong at discipleship. We know that. We know every student. That's kind of that face-to-face in the trenches with them. And low tech, when you talk about that, we invest in every student. We put far more time into each student than any school I've ever seen. That's a challenge. We have programs. We ask the students for input and invest in their peers. But how do you get better? Right, it's hard to imagine that because you guys have done such a great job. But how do you get better? So I want to get into that and unpack some of these things. And by the way, whether we're talking about Iron Academy, these are all principles right out of the scripture that Jesus lived with his disciples, that the church has been living for 2,000 years, that we need to be living in our own homes with our own children and our own people that we disciple. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, here with my good friend Alan Hahn, the founder of Iron Academy here in the Raleigh area, ironacademy.org. Let me just read this to you guys. So if you haven't been part of the show for a while, Alan's been around the show for a while. And Alan and I have known each other for years, and he watched me take a dive off the deep end, and then I watched him take a dive off the deep end, and we're just trying to follow the Lord, and we just praise God, both of us, because he's been faithful. As we've tried to been obedient, founded in 2013, Iron Academy exists in order to shape Christian boys into exceptional, biblically grounded young men who are maximally developed for a life of leadership, self-discipline, and service. You're like, well, what about grades? Yes, of course. But we need to think deeper than just academics. That's part of it. Excellent academics, and they excel. But there's a whole lot more to that. Biblical manhood is never an accident, as we've said from day one with Iron Academy. And this core belief is reflected in the name of the school, which was inspired by Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron. So one man sharpens another. How many years is it? So it's been coming up. Next year's 10 years?
Next year's 10.
I can't believe that.
There's a lot of things coming together right now. Yeah,
man, it's so cool. All right, so let's talk about as you move forward in the strange world that we live in, where the emperor clearly has no clothes, but we're the only ones that really understand that. How does Iron Academy get better? I mean, it's been amazing to see what God has accomplished. So if you have sons or grandsons that are in the 6th to 12th grade range and you're here in the Raleigh-Durham area, do yourself a favor, do them a favor, and at least go to ironacademy.org and check it out. But how do you get better?
Well, this is always my favorite time of the year, looking forward to the changes we're going to make for next year, the improvements we're going to make. And we did learn a lot of things this year. So being Iron Academy, it's so overwhelming because nothing like this exists anywhere.
So, right. So it's not like you can copy
anybody. Up as we go. But we continue to learn. And I'll just share something we learned this year. So eighth grade parents out there, you'll appreciate this. Eighth grade is probably the lowest point of our lives as humans. But what we generally see is eighth graders, they start pushing away mom. They start pushing away dad. They start looking for weaknesses in their teachers. They start questioning their faith, because when they come to us as 6th or 7th graders, they believe everything mom and dad told them, everything their church told them. But when it comes to 8th grade, they have to either own it or reject it. It has to become their own. So 8th grade is always the year that one grade probably generates 70% of our issues. So we said, all right, are we just going to continue to let this happen, or are we going to do something about it? So years ago, we started doing some stuff, and we've added to that every year. Well, we do one thing called Eighth Grade Unplugged. We take them away in October for a week. We go out camping at Falls Lake, and we just focus on who they are as young men and character. And this year, these
Is that
guys,
literally like a week?
Yes. Wow. Well, a week, the weekdays.
All right, right.
And so the guys decided this year that they were going to change two things. One.
When you say guys.
The students. Eighth grade students. And they told us, all right, we're going to stop tearing each other down. And if we do, give us burpees. That's our most common consequence at Iron Academy.
It's a good one.
And the second thing was, we're not going to do selfish things that hurt the family. Because those were their two issues. And that's what they identified, and that's what they wanted to fix.
Wow.
Within 10 days, they had completely transformed their class.
Wow.
I'm not saying they don't occasionally tear each other down. They're still guys. But they have loved each other so well and learned how to support each other. And they did a lot of burpees in the beginning. But they went from being the most difficult class to probably the favorite class.
Wow.
They love writing. They love thinking. They love engaging because they're treating one another well. And we learned a lot from that. So here's one of the great things we learned. So our honor code has always been pivotal to the school. I will always conduct myself as a gentleman, live pure, speak true, right wrong, and follow the king. Well, what we learned is, wow, there are developmentally appropriate parts of this. For instance, next year, we know that a sixth grader can focus on what does it mean to conduct yourself as a gentleman. Well, he can learn how to be civil. He can learn how to look out for the needs of others. He can work on not being selfish. But what do a seventh and eighth grader need to work on? Well, live pure. So seventh grade, they're starting to be exposed to some different things. Right. Their neighbors are talking about different things. They're starting to notice young ladies' bodies more. So they're starting to be – the testosterone starting to be part of this. Eighth grade, how to speak true, how to treat one another well verbally, how not to tear each other down. So seventh and eighth grade, we can work on all three of those things, what it means to conduct yourself as a gentleman, live pure, and speak true. Now, if you're in high school at Iron Academy, you should be doing all the things of our honor code. But learning how to follow the king is a difficult thing.
Yeah.
But it's not the end. So the last thing we work on is – well, how do we teach these guys to shepherd well and how to lead well? And if that's the final point for them, then we can send them out and they're able to replicate this with other people. But learning, I think a lot of times as men, we focus on the things that God tells us that we're supposed to do as men without working about on the things that he tells us on how to follow Christ and how to be righteous people and just strong followers of Jesus Christ. If we can do those discipleship things first and then focus on the thing he tells us specifically about being a man, because if we wrote down on two pie plates all the things about biblical womanhood and all things about biblical womanhood, manhood and womanhood, well, most of it lines up. There are only little slivers on each end that have to do specifically with men and specifically with women. So really what we're trying to build is followers of Christ. And once we've done that, once they make great strides for that, then they can learn how to lead other people well and to share this, how to be true shepherds, which is really what we're trying to build as a shepherd.
Yeah, because you're not sending them off into the world to then just pad their own bank account, raise their own family, and just try to get by. That's just not part of the design. God didn't create any of us, especially when we're called into relationship with him, to just get by. I mean, that always reminds me of D. James Kennedy, a pastor that passed away several years ago, who said Christians should be like hurricanes, and wherever we go, nothing stays the same. So when our son out in San Francisco is working in the gaming industry, things should be different because he's there. When our daughter's working for one of the top three sports marketing companies in the world, things should be different because she's there.
Yes.
And that's our role. That's the calling. But I don't know that most of us don't see ourselves that way. And especially in this culture, which is so upside down, one of the things I love about what's going on in Iron Academy is in being in a community like that where they're calling each other out, iron sharpens iron, they build each other up. Man, they're going to need that more than you and I ever have in the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Because this country is going increasingly more secular. Recent Barna research is showing only 6% of Americans actually live out a convictional biblical worldview. So 94% of our neighbors don't. And you think you're a minority now, that's only going to get worse. So you got to have your brothers back in that kind of an environment where our worldview is going to be attacked, increasingly intact. But you also need to reach others and shepherd others. I mean, it's so critical, but nobody's really, I mean, it's just so exciting to see what you guys are doing.
Yeah, it must be real for us. So I used to work in some nice restaurants. I'd be work back in the kitchen, and one evening after they had chopped up all the chicken for the meal that day, they put all the chicken parts in a giant pot, and they'd add their water to it, and they'd start to apply the heat, and that heat's going to be there with that giant pot for the next 18 to 24 hours, but the water vapor is going to leave, and it's going to end up with the essence of that chicken. So you have chicken stock, and now that chicken stock is something useful. It's flavorful. You can use it to make your soup for the next day or whatever you might need to. Well, the Christian church is much like that today. We're a giant pot full of lots of water and some parts, but we're not very flavorful. And as the heat is increasingly applied, we're losing the water vapor, and we're going to find out what the true size of the church is. And I wouldn't dare say what size the true church is, but we need to make sure that we're living out the life right now.
Well, absolutely. And especially, I mean, I keep going back. This is somebody told me this Orwell quote earlier this year. Truth is treason in an empire of lies. So for us that are followers of Christ in the empire of lies, which we definitely live in now, we're just a bunch of traitors. And everybody hates a traitor. And what do you do with traitors? Well, under our law, if you can prove it, you kill them, right? That's just the deal. So when you've got our young men in this case, but our young men and our young women going out into the world into an empire of lies, and they're trying to bear witness to the truth, they're traitors. And traitors are not treated very well, which is why we have to double down, triple down, quadruple down on discipleship so that they're prepared for that, because I don't think they're really prepared for it. Role of honor. You mentioned that as well in the notes. Tell me about that.
Well, so we're the whole staff and I got together, and we're saying, all right, how are we going to do even better at discipleship? And one of the ideas was a role of honor. We do an honor roll, which recognizes grades. We do this thing called IDEA, which parents, I'll share this with you, and you should do this with your kids. IDEA. I stands for identify virtues or dispositions in your son or daughter that you like. We D, describe it in terms that they can understand. We E, encourage more of it so they can develop a growth mindset for that. And we anticipate, a future benefit of that. So I say, so I have Steve Noble Jr. in my class, and I say, Steve, you have done such a good job being prepared for class and coming to class with your homework, and you're ready to add value to class. That is diligence and persistence. Keep that up. That's really going to pay off. Your wife is going to love that you are always prepared and you don't let things go. Now, sixth grade Steve is really not thinking about his future wife, but we put it in those terms.
Right.
So we do that all the time. We do that at our convocations. We recognize these guys. So why not have a role of honor like we have an honor roll? So we recognize these guys that are doing especially well at the things of character and living out the honor code.
Yeah, so you can get on the honor roll at your average school and have good grades and be a terrible person.
Well, yes.
Right. And so, as Christians, we're called to do a lot more than have good grades. We're going to keep talking to Alan. Plus, a huge announcement. God just doing a really exciting work at Iron Academy. Again, if you're here in the Triangle area and you have sons or grandsons, 6th to 12th grade, ironacademy.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, here today with my good friend, my brother in Christ, Alan Hahn from Iron Academy. IronAcademy.org is the website, IronAcademy.org. They're here in the Raleigh area, and so if you're in the Triangle area of North Carolina, make sure you check them out, especially if you have sons or grandsons that are either approaching 6th through 12th grade or they're there already. Maybe they're, hey, if they're in 10th grade, is it too late? No, it's not too late. You can always look into it, and we've seen a massive shift out of public school. Praise the Lord. I'm getting closer and closer to the point where I'm going to start saying it's a sin for any Christian family to send their kids into the public school. And I know that's going to trigger a bunch of people. I'll unpack that at a later date. But we are getting there, and it's getting worse. And I'm thankful for the states that are fighting back, Loudoun County in Virginia, what we see happening down in Florida. Those are all good things, but that's not enough. So you just try to escape. When you go to a public school, you try to escape being in all the worst stuff and just try to survive. You go to a Christian school, it's kind of a safe place. But do you go to a school where you're actually going to be developing young men into what God would have them be? Not just good students. Of course, that's part of it. Iron Academy does an incredible job academically, but then developing the heart and developing the soul and developing the mind besides the academics. And that's why it's always so great to talk about Alan and have you on the show and to be partnered for as long as we have. But this is a huge announcement. This is like a make or break kind of thing. Most schools, new schools and new ventures dream about getting to things like this, but this actually happened today, right?
It did. We closed on the 11-acre property at 3500 Edwards Mill Road. What a blessing.
How does it feel to just say that?
We know we have a permanent home. We know we can invest in all the things that we want to do as a school. Here's the vision for the property. So it's 11 acres right on Edwards Mill. 35,000 cars pass by it every day.
So this is a busy part of North Raleigh, for those of you that aren't in the area. It's a great location, okay? And this whole market's growing and going crazy. In the last 9 years, you guys have had to go to several different locations as you're growing and developing. And now to have not just your own location in a nice-sized plot, 11 acres, but in such a primo location, it's just like one thing after another. Lord just kind of lavishing his grace upon you.
Well, he has high expectations for us. If we cease to honor him with that property, he will take it all away.
Yeah.
So our plan is to make it as much of a 24/7 kingdom campus as possible.
Yeah, I love that.
Mount Olivet is still there. They sold the property to us. We hope that they thrive under this, and we're going to make conditions right for them to continue to thrive. There's a Korean church and a Filipino church there. We want sports ministries with basketball, with soccer, with fencing, archery, riflery, wrestling.
Wow.
And we want this to be as much of a 24/7 God-honoring opportunity as possible. I am super excited about it.
Because schools are using it Monday through Friday. Churches use things on Sunday, and that's about it. But that's not even good stewardship. I mean, I love that kingdom complex because you have stuff going on literally 7 days a week.
Yeah, can't wait to get started. So a whole new exciting era for me. Going out on the fundraising trail, but the things that the guys are going to see, but our families have always chosen us because of the biblical manhood, because of the all-male environment, because of the great academics, but we don't want our facilities to be something that is a barrier to more people coming to us. So this has been a real gift that we get to have great facilities.
Yeah.
And the truth is we don't want the prettiest facilities because we don't want people to come there for the facilities, but we don't want that to be an inhibition for them.
Right. Either. Yeah. So it's good and exciting. It legitimizes things because I remember back in the day when you were first starting, I'm like, you know, you're basically asking people to turn their students into guinea pigs or missionaries. Let's go try this. Because it was like when I moved here in 97 and had to start a business from scratch. A house painting company. And like, hey, Steve, how many houses have you painted here in Raleigh? I'm like, none. Oh, really? And then that's just a reality that you have to overcome. So it legitimizes it, but you don't just, it can be blingy on the outside. You can have Pharisees that can clean the cup on the outside, but the inside's trash, right? So you can have an awesome facility and not necessarily accomplish a lot of discipleship or kingdom building. And so you kind of, what are the phases here? Because right now, so people understand, Mount Olivet Baptist Church is there. It's kind of a one-story, 1970s, 1980s kind of church building. Nothing fancy, but then at the end is where the classrooms and everything where you guys are at.
Right.
So what kind of develops here? Help us get a picture for what God's going to do.
So first stage, we'll make the front look a little bit better and more inviting. Second stage, we'll build the gyms and the fields, and we want an amphitheater back there. I think an amphitheater would be great for our daily convocation, for church services, for small Christian concerts and Christian drama productions. Can't wait for that. And then as we build the lunch pavilions and the forge, someday we'll have a forge back there because we got to bang some iron back there. And I want the guys to be able to do that. But then build out the basement of the gyms. That's where we'll put our archery and riflery ranges and fencing and wrestling rooms and things like that. But we want it to be fully functional for the whole campus that is there, for the different ministries that are there, and for the community. We want STEM labs. I can't wait to have STEM labs so we can offer those to the homeschool community as well.
All the old people out there know what a STEM lab is.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. STEM, sometimes done STEAM, science, technology, engineering, and math. When you put the A in there, you have arts. But we want a nice facility that can suit everybody academically, spiritually, physically. I'm so excited about that.
Because that's the whole point is, again, I'm trying to challenge all of us to expand our understanding of what's possible with these young Christian men, between 6th and 12th grade, is not just academics, but kind of excellence in all areas, character development, because we want to create people that are going to go out there and shake the foundations of the nation. He's going to go, well, that sounds a little lofty. Nah, I think we've lowered the bar so much on what it means to be a 21st century Christian that when we have an app, I did this about a year ago. I was emceeing a large event for a large ministry. And the senior leader of the ministry has got 40 years of experience. Absolutely spectacular. And at one point I was saying when I was introducing this person, I know we all fall all over ourselves and think this particular person is just like unbelievable. This is remarkable. And certainly what they've accomplished is remarkable. But I actually think they're rather average. And I'm like, I don't know what anybody's going to, how they're going to react to this. I think they're average. I think this person's average because this person is a run-of-the-mill, average, first century-like follower of Jesus Christ, who in our context looks unbelievable. LeBron James, Michael Jordan out there in the court. But in a first century context, following Jesus Christ, full of the Holy Spirit, and they know who they are and what they're supposed to be doing, then that's just what comes out of it.
That's
right. You just get this incredible effect. Whether it's a small environment in your family, on your street, in your class, in your small business, in your big business, whether you're a leader or an employee or whatever. But every single Christian should be out there making a mark.
That's right. We've got such a small vision, either for our God or for ourselves. Mm. So Iron Academy, we have this beautiful sword that's kind of our mascot, and it's made by one of the best swordsmiths on the planet. He did the weaponry for Thor. He's doing it for Pilgrim's Progress, but it's amazing. And it's beautiful. But we also have the first sword that he ever made, and it's rough. It's uncomfortable. It's unbalanced, but you can tell it's a sword.
Yeah.
And when you hold a sword up, it doesn't matter how ugly it is. People look and say, ah, a sword.
Right.
Well, that's a metaphor for modern-day biblical manhood. Is it sticks out from everything else because we don't see it very often. You say, ah, biblical manhood. But if you have the expertise and the craftsmanship and the know-how and the time to put into it, you end up with the product it was designed to be. We can't be satisfied with the old rusty sword. We have to be searching for that magnificent, brilliant, perfectly balanced sword that is capable of. So when God designed us, he didn't design us to be little. He designed us to be Joshua's and Caleb's, to be mighty men of God, to do amazing things. That should be our average, right?
Yeah.
Like what you're saying. And we have settled for less. And I think it's the human condition that we fall into the trap of saying, well, I'm not like those people. I'm better than that. So right. I must be doing pretty well.
Right.
But we can't do that for our sons and daughters. We have got to optimize conditions for them to be all that God designed them to be.
As our friend Lewis Dickerson, who went to be with the Lord earlier this year, Lewis Alexander, I'm thinking of a different Lewis. Lewis Alexander. He used to say, God don't make no junk. And I'd be like, well, you know, you're from down there in Fuquay and Garner, so I would expect you to talk like that. But no, hold on a second. God don't make no junk. Yep, that's right. He doesn't. And I'm talking about people outside the faith, but especially people inside the faith. People that are sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, taught by the Word of God and by other believers. And I think one of the things we do is we lower the bar because it's easy, right? It's amazing what you can get used to. And then we live a mediocre life, but we go, hey, but at least we've got heaven. I know the Lord. I'm saved. I've got my future in front of me. Yeah, but what about your present? And are you really maximizing who God made you to be? I'm not talking as a capitalist here. I'm talking as a biblicist.
Yes.
Are you maximizing who God called you to be?
Yes. If we are still looking out at our culture and looking for politicians to be our saviors, or for culture to be right and to help us get through these times, we're missing out. It is time for us to claim our big God, to be all that it has to be who we are. They can't separate it from us that everything about me screams, the creator of the universe claimed me, and I am his.
Yeah, that's a pretty powerful message. He claimed me, I am his. He's mine, I'm in his family, I'm in his tribe.
And I will follow.
And I will follow, and he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And whatever you put your hand to, whatever you come up against, victory should be the deal. And now sometimes that takes time. It's not always pretty. But, man, we need to kind of step into those shoes. And, yeah, I think that it's a great point. Sometimes our vision of ourselves is certainly too small. And I think our vision of God is too small. But it's not at Iron Academy.
No way.
And praise the Lord for that. Congratulations on the property today. That's awesome. It's going to be so fun to watch it, as it has been for almost the last 10 years. Alan Hahn, Iron Academy, ironacademy.org. Always great to have you in here, buddy. Congratulations.
Thank you, Steve.
You're very welcome. It's great to partner with you guys and watch it all happen. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.